I grew up playing the piano. My mom taught me, and she made me promise to take one semester of piano in college. And I went to school, I took one semester of piano, and as soon as they put me in a room and had three teachers sitting in front of me and said, play five pieces from memory. After that, I didn't think piano was my calling. But I did fulfill my promise to my mom, and it's a blessing for kids, you know, who are interested in music, but ultimately to bring glory and honor to God. So Numbers chapter number 13, and look what it says in verses number 26 through 33. I'll go ahead and read it, starting in verse number 26. The Bible says, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." Let's bow our head, have a word of prayer, and we'll get right to the message this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to gather in your house this evening. Thank you so much for the special music. Thank you for the kids and the song about rejoicing in the Lord. Oh God, there's a message in the song that we can apply to our lives, how that no matter what circumstance we go through, we can rejoice. I pray that as we go into the message, I pray that you would speak to hearts. God, I pray that you would just use me this evening. I pray that you would just remove me out of the way. Allow me to only say what you would have me to say. Please fill me up with the Holy Spirit power. And I pray that as I ask this, I pray that you would just speak to hearts this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. God desires us to trust and lean on him. But at times, we lean on what we see rather than trusting in God. How many of you have ever seen something and once you look at it, you think it's one thing, but then once you study it, it's something else? That happens to me all the time. I remember one time I was with my family. We were on a road trip and I was about 12 to 13 years old and we pulled up into a gas station. And I had just woken up from a nap, and you know those naps, those really good naps that you wake up and all of a sudden you don't know where you are, you're trying to figure out where you're at. That was a nap that I was waking up from. And I remember going into the gas station, and I had to use the restroom. So I remember walking to the bathroom area, looking at the sign, and I specifically saw men's. That's very important in the story. I know that I saw men's. And I remember walking in the restroom, and the one thought that I had was, I wonder why there are no urinals in this bathroom. That was my first thought. But you know what? I said, it's fine. Bathrooms are different, you know. It is what it is. So I remember I went, used the restroom, and I walk out, and I make eye contact, thankfully, with my sister, Sade. And her face, she's shocked. Her eyes are wide. Her mouth drops open. And she says, Ben, what are you doing here? And by this time, I've convinced myself that I am in the men's bathroom. So I said, instead of saying, you know, I'm using the restroom, I said, Sade, what are you doing here? And we have this pretty cool standoff to where we both think we're in the right restroom. So we ask ourselves again, Ben, what are you doing here? And finally, it snaps. She drags me outside and points me the sign that says the women's bathroom. Needless to say, I quickly got in the car, got in the back, and tried to hide the rest of the day because of what happened. But many of us, you know, we look at something and all of a sudden we think of something else. There are times that we are confused by something at first glance. And because of this, it's very easy to rely on our knowledge, what we know, our experiences, and how we view things. In this passage, just to give you some context, the children of Israel, they came all the way from Egypt. They were right there, you might say. They were at the tip, at the border of the land that God had promised them. But something happened that cost them. Something happened that hurt them. And in this passage, I want you to notice three views that the children of Israel saw that hurt them. And I want to propose to you this evening, are you focused more on your circumstance and what you can see rather than placing your trust in God? If we are going to trust God and live for Him, we have to have the correct view of who God is, the view that He loves us, the view that He wants us to trust and lean on Him. We're going to look at three different views this evening, and I've asked a few people to help me, but the first view we're going to see is in verse 26 and 27. Now, Aubrey, can you come up and help me with something? So, these are pretty cool glasses that I like. So, I want you to put these on. And I have this sign right here. And I'm going to put it right here so that everyone can see it. So can you stand about over there to the second pew? Wait. I'll hold the sign. It's okay. Just stand right there. And I just want you to turn around and read what it says as loud as you can.
The right view.
The right view, okay? The right view. What does that say?
Of the land.
The right view of the land. Thank you. You may be seated. I'll take that. Thank you. The children of Israel, they had the right view of the land. Look what it says in verse number 26. The Bible says that they went to Moses and Aaron. This is after they sent the spies out to look out the land that God had for them. Look what it says. They brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. They realized that everything they had that they heard from the land was true. God told them it was a place that they can raise their families. It was a place where there were places running with milk and honey. There were many things that God told them about the land. And once they saw it, they realized that everything that God said was true. The verse even says that it took two men to carry the fruit from the land to show them. They understood the blessing and what was in store for them. But even though they have the right view of the land, they went about it the wrong way. The Bible says in Deuteronomy that they of their own, they sent spies to the land to kind of see what the land was about. They doubted the place that God told them and they wanted to see for themselves. Think of that. God told them that this was the place that they had for them. But before they went in, before they went to conquer the land, they went to spy and see if the land was really there, if God was really keeping his word, if God was who he said he was, if God truly meant what he said. Think of all that God did for them. Brought them out of Egypt after years of slavery. Provided for them, clothed them. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 29:5, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. Think of that. Through all the years that it took them to get to the promised land, their clothes were still, I'm sure you think that their clothes would be worn, but God still provided for them, for their food and for their clothes and everything. We should never doubt that God desires to bless us and provide for us, but we have to trust him. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So many times we live by what we see, what we know, and what our circumstances are, but God wants us to trust in him. They sent the spies out. They returned with confirmation. The land was good, and it was more than they could have ever imagined. If we want to see the blessings that God has for us, we need to trust him with our life. We need to trust him for what he has for us and the plan that he has for us. They had the right view of the land, but they had another view that is very interesting. Okay, I need someone who would like to help me with this one. Okay, Tyler, come on up. Tyler, come on up and help me with this one. So, you saw how it's done. It's very simple. Now, Those that I gave Aubrey, those were day glasses, like night vision. Mm-hmm. Okay, these are night vision. I love these glasses. Okay. They have the right view of the land. Now, step about over there, step about over there, and read out loud, what does this say? They also had another view. What was this?
The right view.
Okay. The right view of the people. Thank you. You can just set them right there. They had the right view of the land, but also the right view of the people. Look what it says in verse number 28 through 29. Now, after verse 27, they're like, this is what the land is. It flows with milk and honey. It's all this. Nevertheless, that's like a, but that's like a, something's coming up. Nevertheless, I saw it defined as despite all the good things, despite all the things that God said the land was, there was a problem. Look what it says. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites, basically the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, and the Canaanites dwelled by the sea. There were giants in the land, and this was true. They had the right view of the land. They understood how good the place was. They also had the right view of the people. They realized that there were giants in the land. But as I was studying this passage, not only were there giants in the land, but they named enemies that God had helped them conquer in the past. So they're not only talking about the giants that that's talking about there. They're talking about the Canaanites, the Jebusites, those people that they had opposed as they were on their way to the promised land. And I find it actually pretty funny. Look what it says in verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. I wrote down in my notes that, you know, a lot of people, we say they identify as one thing or another. The children of Israel, they're identifying as grasshoppers. I thought that was pretty funny. But they describe themselves as being so small in the giants' eyes. Not only were they afraid of the giants in the land, but enemies that they had defeated already. They were stopped and stricken because of fear, because of the giants that were in the land, but also because of enemies that had been defeated already. Nothing has been said that has not been inaccurate. The land was good, but what made them afraid were the giants and the enemies that they had already defeated. So many times we wonder, can God use us? There are so many times that there are those giants in our lives that stop us of doing great things for God. Sometimes we wonder if God can even use us. But we need to realize that if we trust in God and lean on Him, we don't have to be worried about the giants in our lives, all those past victories that God may have had over a specific temptation or specific sin. God gave us the victory then, and He can give us the victory now. I think of this past summer as summer's going to a close. Maybe at the beginning you had some trials that you had to overcome. Maybe you had some difficulties that you were going through that you didn't know how you were going to get through the summer, but here you are at the end of the summer. God gave you the victory. He gave you the peace. You saw God's will, and God saw you through it, just like He promised He would. Bible says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He can help you with that difficult family situation. He can help you, kids, as you start school this week. Even though you're afraid of school and some of you may be going to a new grade, some of you may be moving to a different school. I don't know what it may be, but the same God that helped you then, He can help you now. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Here's the key. It's not in all strength. That's the key. It's not in what I can do, what I know, what my experiences are, but it's rather what God can do through me. That's how Paul realized it as he wrote that. He realized that all the sufferings that I'm going through, all that I want to do for God, I can't do it in my own strength. I have to do it through Christ because through Him, I can do all things. Have you ever felt alone, like you're all by yourself? Well, you're not. And that's what the children of Israel forgot. And so many times we forget the same thing. It's so easy to read the story of the children of Israel and think, man, they're learning these lessons over and over again. But it's just the same way we are. We've seen God give us past victories. We've seen God deliver us from situation after situation. And so many times we still doubt God. And it's something that we all have to work on as we draw closer to God, as we're in that relationship with God. Pastors mention it all the time, to have an abundant Christian life. Daily Bible reading is such a key, because the more you read your Bible, the more you get into His Word, the closer you can get to know God.
Amen.
The children of Israel thought they were all by themselves. And because of that, this view is key. And this is where I'm going to spend the most of the message this evening. I need one more person that can help me. One more. Okay, right there. Come on up. Now, this is going to be a difficult one because I have one more pair of glasses. We saw the day vision. We saw the night vision. Go ahead and put these on. Okay, I'm going to hold it for you, okay? Put these on. Sit back there and read what it says. Okay, what does the front say? Can you, wait, you don't know? Let me see your glasses. Let me see. What did you do? What did you do? Okay. Let me just wipe it a bit. Okay, it's good. Okay. You should be able to see all of them now. Okay? Try it again. What does it say? Okay, why can't you see?
Because it's dark.
Let me see it. Okay, you can take it off. Now, can you read what this final sign says? Okay, thank you. You can have a seat. Let's talk about these glasses for a minute. These glasses are special glasses. These are the solar eclipse glasses. Now, I had a bad memory of the solar eclipse because by the time I wanted to go buy one, they were all out of stock. But all of a sudden, now they're back in stock. I wonder why. But you can't see out of these. They're used for a specific purpose. And the reason why I had him use these is because this was the problem with the children of Israel. They got the land correct. They got the people correct. But they got God wrong.
Yeah.
They had the wrong view of God. They couldn't see that God was with them. They forgot that God was with them as he brought them out of Egypt. They forgot who was in their corner. And so many times we do the exact same thing. As soon as God saves us, he promises that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But so many times we see one situation, we put the glasses on, we take them off, God delivers us from that situation, okay, we move on. But then once we encounter another thing, a temptation or a trial, instead of understanding what God did for us in the past, we put them back on.
Yeah.
We keep forgetting that God is in our corner. They have the wrong view of God, and that made the difference. Look what it says. Now look what it says in chapter 14. After they hear about all the reports of what happened, verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They all wept. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or with God we had died in this wilderness. They were praying and they were hoping, because they were there at the promised land, to go back to where they were in slavery, or that God would even kill them in the wilderness. Look what it says in verse 3, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were not better for us to return into Egypt? Verse 4, let's make a captain. Let's return unto Egypt. They're like, well, all this was no good. Let's just head back to Egypt. They did not trust God to take them into the land and conquer their enemies. They were not looking for the one who brought them out of Egypt. They were just looking for a solution to get out of their situation. The giants and the circumstances, it crippled them and it scared them because they had these on. They forgot about God. They forgot about all that God had done for them. They forgot that he promised that he would never leave them nor forsake them. As it says in Hebrews, that God would never leave us nor forsake us. He promised that he would provide a way to escape in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. And there are many verses in the Bible just like that, that God promises his presence. He promises us his strength, and that he will help us to endure temptation. But so many times we forget God. The end of the story is sad. It's a sad chapter to close out.
Yeah.
All that way from Egypt, and they're right there. They murmured against Moses and Aaron. God was ready to wipe out that entire nation because of all that they did. But Moses begged for the lives of the people, and instead, they had to wander in circles in the wilderness for 40 years till that generation died off, and then those 20 and younger could enjoy the land. Can you imagine? So close to God's blessings, so close to the place that they prayed for, that their fathers had prayed for, that so many people who died in Egypt prayed for, and because of their unbelief, they didn't make it to the land. I wonder how many blessings or what we would be enjoying right now if we would just trust God. We would just step out by faith and allow Him to guide us rather than relying on what we can see or the circumstances that we are in. It would just be so much better to trust God.
Amen.
It's funny, I was talking with Noah earlier on this evening before the service, and there was a song that we've sung two consecutive rows. I'm sure Ms. Mix is tired of it by now, but 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. But the message of that song is so powerful that it's sweet to trust Jesus.
Amen.
No matter what situation comes up, even though it may seem uncomfortable, even though it may not seem that it's working, I struggle with patience. I want something right now. As soon as I pray for it, I wish the next day or even that moment God would answer our prayer. But that's not the way it is. Trusting and faith and having faith in Jesus, it takes time. We don't know when the answer may come. He may even say no, which, including me, it's difficult to hear that. Something that I pray for, but God says no. But it's important that we realize that so many heartache and things could be avoided if we just trust and have faith in God. Think of that. All of the punishment that the children of Israel went through, it could have been avoided if they would have just had the right view by trusting and relying on Him. Don't miss out on God's blessings because you don't trust God.
Amen.
Think of it. You're trusting Him for salvation, for your future. But yet, we can't trust Him for tomorrow. We can't trust Him for next week or future decisions. We can trust God. For those of you who went to men's prayer advance, Trusting God, one of my favorite songs. I sought, He heard, and He answered. And that's why we even trust Him. Because of what He did in the past, if we remember all that God did for us, then all of a sudden, trusting in Jesus becomes sweeter and sweeter as the time goes by. Are you trusting God for your life and for your future? Maybe there's someone here who's not even taking that first step and placed their faith and trust in Jesus for eternity. And that's His will. He wills that each and every one of us, that all to be saved. In a few moments, there's going to be an invitation. There's going to be a time to where you can commit the fall season, the school year, whatever it may be, whatever future decisions, you can commit that to God and decide, you know what? I'm going to trust God with my life, for tomorrow, for everything. Decide this evening that we are going to trust in God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Piano's just going to play for a few minutes, and Pastor will be up here in a minute. But maybe you're here, and maybe there's a decision that you're praying about. And maybe you're relying more on what you can see and your circumstance. Decide right now that, you know what? I'm going to trust in God. I'm not going to forget what God did for me yesterday by providing for me, even though I may not have known where it came from. God has done so much for each and every one of us, and He's been so good. It's easy to forget. If we put on the glasses, it's easy to not see that God is in our corner. But He is. He promised that He'd never leave us nor forsake us. Just take this time right now to have a word of prayer. That's Pastor Corn.
Let's all stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, if there's one here today that needs to be saved, God, give them the courage to step out. Convict them of their sin. Convince them of their need of a Savior, that they may trust the blood of Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. As Mrs. Mix plays and sings, the altar is open. Children, tomorrow starts your first day of school. Won't you come and commit yourself to be a witness and a testimony at school for Christ? Mom and Dad, won't you come and pray a coverage over your kids? You say, well, my kids are going to be homeschooled or Christian schooled. Well, there's 3,000 kids down the street here that need somebody to care enough to pray God's blessing over them. Won't you come and beg God for the souls of children just 2-3 blocks away that need somebody to care? Won't you come tonight as a church family and commit yourself to pray? Time for you. Won't you come and pray? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? If you died today, you trusted Him and His shed blood for your sin? You can know for sure tonight, heaven's your home.
As long as you are near, please be with me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto me.
Our Father and our God, we thank You for Your Word. God, how it guides us and directs us, how it helps us see where we are right now and helps us see how to take the next step and point us in the direction of You. Father, thank You that You never leave us or forsake us. And Father, how that Your path is clear. And God, You're always, always operating for our good and for Your glory. And Father, tonight as we fellowship, we pray, God, as we draw closer to each other and to You, Father, may You be glorified. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, man. Look this way.